Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the VR2 on Sports Illustrated podcast. I'm your host, Jack Foster, joined by VR2 on SI writer Jake Nichols. Today, we are going to be previewing the Johnny Majors Classic between Pittsburgh and Tennessee that will be played this Saturday, 12 p.m. Eastern in Neyland Stadium. It's week two of college football, and I couldn't be more ready. Jake, it's Friday football eve here on Rocky Top. We got a game tomorrow that is destined to be close, in my mind, a prove-yourself type of game for both teams early on here in the season, and what better way to make this game greater than honoring the all-time great Tennessee coach and player, the Vol for life, and Johnny Majors. Coached the Vols from 1977 to 1992, and also coached Pitt from 1973 to 76 and 1993 to 96. So his Tennessee tenure was kind of sandwiched in between his times with Pitt. But a great game, probably going to be one of the most exciting games all year. Jake, man, for this question, before we get into the deep stuff about the game, what are you most looking forward to tomorrow as just a fan of football?
I think the biggest thing is just everything I've seen about the crowds, because we've seen the hashtag Orange Wave, the hashtag Phil Neyland on Twitter this week, Tennessee fans and recruits trying to amp up the atmosphere for this game. Obviously, you know, last week was fun having 84,000 back in Neyland Stadium, but as any Tennessee fan well knows, the capacity of Neyland is 102,455, and so trying to get that many bodies in there for this Pittsburgh game is vital. And so, you know, the players talked about it this week. Alante Taylor talked about the atmosphere that the fans create and just how much they need them again this week. Caleb Tremblay talked about it. And just, you know, that there is nothing like a Neyland Stadium crowd. And I think for even further proof of that, that you'll be able to go to Pat Narduzzi after tomorrow's game to get a quote about it. Because earlier this week, you know, obviously we've seen on Twitter how he's kind of talked about how his team is ready for it. And, you know, frankly speaking, maybe Oklahoma thought they were ready for it in 2015. And then after the game, Baker Mayfield talked about how loud it was. And so I think that that's the key this week is for Tennessee fans to create a raucous atmosphere that Neyland is known for and to make Narduzzi eat his words. But I think that's one thing I'm really excited to see, because those comments from Pitt's coach have absolutely lit a fire under this Tennessee fan base. And if there's one thing you don't want to do, it's piss off Vol Nation before a big game. So I think that's one thing I'm really, really excited to see just as a football fan, just to see the packed crowd and to see Tennessee's fans slamming into that venue, just trying to create that atmosphere that Neyland is so well known for, but especially because of what Narduzzi said. But I'm also excited for just a great football game. You know, Pitt comes in with Kenny Pickett at quarterback. He's a guy that can tear you up through the air, but can also make you pay with his legs. And then they've also got a fantastic passing game that features a tight end that Tennessee will have to pay a lot of attention to. And then obviously, conversely, looking at Joe Milton, and can he get the job done? Can he kind of shore up some of those inaccuracies we saw last week and be more decisive? Because this Pitt defense is going to be tough. So I think that with the crowd atmosphere and everything, and obviously with honoring Johnny Majors all together, this atmosphere and everything you love about football is going to be present in this game.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I couldn't have said it better myself. And, you know, the game's going to be that much more exciting, like you said, if we reach that century thousand mark. But before we get into really talking the specifics of Saturday's game, I want to tell all of you guys about Accurate Travel Company by Dream Vacations. If you're looking to book travel at any time but don't want to do all the work, contact our friends Beth and Price at Accurate Travel Company so that they can just do the work for you. They're currently sending you a $50 Visa gift card to book with them. I mean, what's there to lose? Just give them a call now to find that dream vacation. All right, Jake. So, you know, we kind of mentioned on a recap pod of Tennessee Bowling Green that Joe Milton didn't have a perfect game by any stretch. You know, his pocket presence was a little lacking. He was all right on the ground, but through the air, there were some inaccuracies. What do you need to see from Joe Milton to expect Tennessee success on offense?
I think the first thing that you have to worry about is getting the ball out faster, because we saw him stand in the pocket way too long against Bowling Green. And, you know, I get it. It's Bowling Green. You can afford to stand back there and make a ham sandwich before you throw the football. But Pitt will not allow you to be that indecisive and to wait that long, because I think it was Wes Rucker that asked a question after last week's game and said, you know, Joe, you looked almost, you know, some might say too comfortable in the pocket. And I would agree with that, that, you know, that there is such a thing as being too comfortable in a pocket and just standing still as a statue. And that's what we saw from Milton at times last week, that you're not going to have that time this week, or else you're going to be eating grass, courtesy of Pitt's defensive linemen. And so you've got to be able to get through your reads, go through your progressions, and make that happen faster and be a little bit more mobile. Because as big as Milton is, you know, we saw a couple times last week, even on that first touchdown run, that he can use his body to get a couple extra yards with ease. And so I think that you've got to be willing to move around a little bit more and to, like I said, go through your progressions, you know, be sure and take your receivers through those and just be able to make better decisions, because that's the biggest key for Tennessee winning this football game. And aside from that, aside from just the progressions, you also need him to be more accurate, because we saw a couple times last week he overthrew Cedric Tillman on what should have been an easy touchdown catch, and the ball sailed like 10 yards over his head. So, you know, we saw the big arm last week, and so I think the second biggest key for Milton is to rein that arm in just a little bit, because he did, you know, zing a couple fastballs the guys last week, and he airmailed a few, and you can see the athleticism, and you can see the reason that Tennessee wanted to start him, because the ceiling is just so incredibly high with what he can do with his legs and what he can do with that cannon of an arm. But you have to be able to control both of those and to use them at the appropriate times for them to have the proper effect. And so I think that for Milton, like I said, accuracy, you know, improving that pocket presence and just trying to rein in some of the athleticism that we've seen and use it when necessary, but not necessarily just trying to, you know, throw a ball to the moon every time he touches it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, you mentioned eating grass. Pitt's D-line is great. The rush D was amazing against UMass, only allowing 42 yards on the ground. So, you know, Tennessee's run game was the bright spot last week. Do you expect, you know, Jabari Small and others to kind of struggle this week, especially since Tyon Evans is expected to not play?
Yeah, I think that Jabari will struggle a little bit without kind of that 1-2 punch, because we saw last week how well they worked off of each other. So I think that could be a little bit of an adjustment. But I think that altogether that Jabari should still turn in a fine performance, but that's not the biggest key. Like I said, the biggest one is the passing game, because that's how you're going to have the most success against Pitt, because especially, you know, without Tyon in there, the defensive line is going to be able to key in on Jabari Small. And it makes me wonder too, who that second back is going to be this week, and what ways that Tennessee can maybe put in Jalen Wright, or maybe even, you know, Marcus Pierce. We saw him get some time last week at the end of the Bowling Green game. And Jerry Mack talked about this week just how much he deserved it and why he's just been a grinder since he came to Tennessee from Maryville College. So, you know, you have to wonder who that second back is, but I think Jabari should be okay. But I think that given the way that he and Tyon bounced off of each other last week, that it could be a little rough to get him going early, like we saw against Bowling Green.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, if the running game struggles and Joe Milton is hurry, that means the offensive line struggled, obviously, with this great Pitt front. So, you know, Cooper Mays was banged up last week a little bit. Should we expect him to give it a go this Saturday?
Not sure. I think from everything I've heard from Josh Heupler, from the last thing I heard, that he was moving around the facility this week and that they were gonna try to give it a go, but still not entirely sure there. So I'm really not entirely sure what to expect as far as Cooper Mays. But as far as the rest of the offensive line, you know, we saw how they adjusted whenever Jerome Carvin switched over to center Ollie Lane came in at guard, and Jerome told me earlier this week that, you know, Ollie did a good job, that he's been here a while, and it was good to see him get some playing time, and that he obviously made the most of it. So I think that Tennessee's offensive line should be okay this week. But I think that it is still questionable with Cooper. Gotcha. And I take it back to the last thing Heupel did say. Actually, I had forgotten about what he said on the coaches teleconference, that Cooper has made a lot of progress since we talked to him on Monday, and that he may be able to play Saturday, but that's still not definite.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that would be, you know, great if he could play for Tennessee for sure. And kind of transitioning over to Tennessee's defense matching up with Pitt's offense, you know, Kenny Pickett is a very solid guy. He's a college football veteran. You know, he's in his fourth year. Josh Heupel has faced him twice, so these guys are familiar with each other. Josh Heupel lost in 2019 with UCF against Pitt, but won big in 2018. So what should Tennessee's defense look out for on Pitt's offense the most?
I think that the biggest thing is just the threat that Pickett brings to the table, because, like I said, the guy can tear you up through the air, and he is also really good on the ground. He's second on their team in rushing yards. And so you have to worry about both of him. And I think that one key to that is that two keys to that are Tyler Barron and Theo Jackson, because Barron has played pretty well in camp, I think, and got a couple nice plays last week, and could be a big factor for Tennessee's defensive line this week in just getting to Pickett and trying to make his life rough. But also Theo Jackson, we've seen what he can do from the star position. We've heard about his football intelligence and his football IQ so much, and he's obviously displayed it. He led the team in tackles last week, got a career high in tackles for loss and in solo tackles. So I think you can expect a lot of impact from Theo as well, just in the way that he's going to be able to key on Pickett and rotate around that receiving core. And it'll be really tough as well for not just Theo and Tyler Barron, but Juwan Mitchell and Jeremy Banks, because we've seen the way that Pitt likes to run their tight end up on the seam and to try to get him open. They've got a really athletic tight end that can do a lot of damage. And so that I think that with those three factors, with Theo Jackson, with Tyler Barron, and then adding in Juwan Mitchell and Jeremy Banks, that those guys are key for Tennessee's defense this week in trying to shut down the Panthers, because, as I mentioned, Pickett can make you pay either way you go.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, Juwan Mitchell didn't even record a stat in week one.
Right, and you know, you hope that gives him some motivation for week two, but given everything we've expected from him and given the fact that he led the Longhorns in tackles last year, you got to expect something more from number 10 this week, I think.
Do you think that could have been maybe something, you know, defensive coordinator Tim Banks was kind of going for, almost like not unleashing all his weapons at once against the lowly Bowling Green, you know, just kind of taking it easy, getting through the night, getting a win, and I don't know, just leaning on a secondary more to make some tackles like Theo Jackson. And yeah, I don't know. Just, do you think there was something to Juwan Mitchell kind of having a slow week one, or do you think it was all on him?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, firstly, the lowly Bowling Green was within a touchdown at halftime. So, but going off that, you know, I think that anytime you take the field, that you're not going to strategize for your star linebacker to not get any touches or not make any impact. That I think that it was more just that Bowling Green played away from Mitchell and that he had a rough night. And so I think that you have to be able to improve on that this week, and that his performance is a major key against a Pitt offense that could tear Tennessee up if they're not careful.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right. It's interesting to, you know, think of it that way, I guess. But so just kind of wrapping up here, previewing this game, if you had to pick one X factor for Tennessee's offense that you need to see really step up, who would that one person be?
I think it would be Velus Jones, because we didn't see hardly anything from him last week. You know, he was targeted a couple times. Actually, I take that back. It would be Velus Jones and Jalen Hyatt. because Jones was targeted a couple times. They didn't go to him a lot. But then also Hyatt obviously struggled last week. There were a couple passes from Milton that were good that hit him in the numbers. And you have to come down with those. Jalin Hyatt tweeted after the game last week. I think it was something like, I'm going to be back, or, you know, I'll do better next week. But I think that with those two guys, that they are absolute X factors in this game, because you have to be able to go deep against that Pitt defense. And those guys are key to it. And, you know, Joe Milton has to get them an accurate ball. So I think that with those guys and Milton's accuracy, that those will play obviously the most major part in whether or not Tennessee can get a win.
Right. Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself, man. And kind of moving to the defense, who is your defensive X factor for this weekend?
I'm going to go back to Juwan Mitchell. I think that, that we've seen enough consistency from Theo Jackson that you can expect him to play well. But I think that with Mitchell, that after last week, that it will be really good for Tennessee if he comes out pissed off and ready to get in the stat line a little bit and just, you know, trying to have an effect like we saw from him at Texas. Like I said before, that I think that he could be a major factor, especially, like I said, with that seam that Pitt likes to run and with the way that they like to get Pickett on the perimeter, that Mitchell could be an immediate impact guy, but he's got to be able to put in a few tackles to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've mentioned this being the Johnny Majors Classic, the significance of this game, Josh Heupel meeting Pitt once again, and Tim Banks meeting Pitt once again, as he used to be on the staff for Penn State, obviously playing the in-state rival every year. So, you know, a lot of moving parts going on in this out-of-conference game here. But, Jake, I just kind of want you to touch on, before we wrap up here, the significance of this being dubbed the Johnny Majors Classic for the fans, for the teams, for the coaches, for everyone involved. Just what it really means for this game.
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing to say is that I'm, you know, not really the one to ask, but I will try to speak to it as best I can. But if you really want a good conversation with it, go to the podcast that I had earlier this week with Ryan McGee, because Ryan, as you can hear in the podcast and then in his column that inspired me to reach out for that podcast, Ryan was a student assistant for the video crew at Tennessee in the 90s, whenever Majors was the head coach. And so those stories and some of what Ryan told me, that there is no overstating the impact that Johnny Majors had on Pittsburgh and Tennessee. He loved both schools so, so much. And, you know, Ryan told me that there's no one he has ever met that loved the University of Tennessee more than Johnny Majors. And it would just make him so happy and so humbled to see the way that these two schools are honoring him this week and then next year as well, when they play at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. Just that the impact that Johnny Majors had at both of these places is forever remembered. And in Ames, Iowa, where he, you know, got his first head coaching job at Iowa State. But you know, Johnny Majors' fingerprints, are throughout college football. He, you know, worked with Frank Broyles at Arkansas. He coached at Mississippi State whenever he worked with their defensive backs. Obviously, I mentioned Iowa State and then Pittsburgh and Tennessee, but, you know, and had a stellar playing career. That actually, you know, that was kind of one soapbox that I could jump on if I really wanted to, that Johnny Majors got into the College Football Hall of Fame because of his playing career, because he was a two-time All-American at Tennessee under Jim Nealon. And he was the Heisman runner-up in 1956 to Paul Hornung from Notre Dame, and should have won the Heisman, in my humble opinion. you know, that he got in for his playing career, but that he should also be named a Hall of Famer for his coaching career, because the guy was absolutely stellar. But again, there's no overstating the impact that Johnny Majors had at both of these schools that he loved so much. And as Ryan said, that he would just love being able to see these two schools go to battle. But it's a shame that he can't be there. But as I wrote earlier today, I put out a column from the time that I got to meet Coach Majors. It was in 2017 at the Tailgate store in downtown Knoxville. And those few minutes are just some that I will cherish forever. You know, just his humility and his grace. And, you know, as Ryan told me, that there was no BS about him, that he was just coach, and that it was so, so cool to meet him. And I can just tell you from even those few minutes, how much of an impact that you could tell that he made on the college football world, and how deeply he's missed, but how much he would appreciate being honored this week too.
Yeah, it's truly a special thing. What's going to happen this weekend, and I hope the game lives up to it. You know, we get a real treat kneeling this weekend, which I expect we will. But yeah, we'll
and,
go ahead.
And Tennessee rocking the orange pants in honor.
Oh yeah, all orange. Too. That's yeah. Right. Yeah, in honor of Johnny Majors. So we'll go ahead and end on that note. If you guys want to watch the game this weekend, if you can't be there, it'll be broadcast on ESPN at noon Eastern on Saturday. Like I said earlier, you can also stream it on ESPN.com/watch. And also there's an online radio broadcast on Tennessee Radio Broadcast. So Jake, if you don't have anything else to really drive home about this game this weekend, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap up. So is there anything else you really think that Vol Nation should watch out for?
I don't think there's anything else that they need to watch out for, just that they need to kind of follow their own credence from this week and pack Neyland and be loud. And, you know, like I said, that by the end of the first quarter, if Pat Narduzzi is eating his words about the volume in Neyland Stadium, then that's the best way that Tennessee will have a chance at a W.
Absolutely. And everybody be sure to follow Jake at JNichols_2121 for live updates of Saturday's game. Can also follow VR2 on SI at VR2 on SI on Twitter, and also keep up with their Facebook page. Can also give me a follow at Jack Foster TV. And everybody will be back with a recap pod of the Johnny Majors Classic sooner rather than later. So we will see all of you wonderful people next time.